Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know that we've talked about this yet because Media Day happened, King season started, and a lot of our non-49ers Raiders NFL stuff kind of got dumped. Hey, until further notice, Packers, you're out. That was trash.
I agree.
That doesn't get game of the year consideration for me because they were so bad defensively. Dak is another really solid fourth quarter quarterback. He's a very good fourth quarterback. I won't cushion it. Like, he's good. There is no excuse for a team that maybe their hallmark isn't their defense, but a lot has been made about their defense, to just allow the Cowboys to go up and down the field the way that they did in the most critical moments of the game. Now they can't have that one.
I feel you.
Yeah, I got the Packers. Like, I came away from that game until last night. Well, I still think it's true. I came away from that game like it's Eagles and Rams. Mm-hmm. The Packers are out right now. Mm-hmm. And
might just be Eagles.
Well, I still think the Rams are very good. I think there is a very interesting conversation to have about San Francisco.
The best team in their division right now.
No.
Record-wise, they're not.
I don't think in
record-wise, they're third.
Look, I'm half joking because
is it Seattle and Tampa Bay this weekend?
Yes,
in Seattle.
Lord,
I'm half joking, half show bit, half nervous. That's three halves, so that doesn't work. But
it's math major, Kenny Caraway over here.
Third,
yeah.
But I'm very confident in the 49ers against anybody, anywhere. Mm-hmm. I'm very confident. You guys like to, in the chatty house and stuff, like, oh, you know, KC a homer. Look, I love the 49. I don't hide that. Obviously, 49 Friday, all this other stuff. But I like to think a lot of the times I am real about the 49ers. I got a pulse for the 49ers, and I'm real about it. Last year, did you ever hear me touting that they were some Super Bowl team? Even at the start of the season.
I don't think so.
No. I said, man, I said, what happened in that Super Bowl? I don't know if you recover from that in a year. Mm-hmm. You might bounce back another year or two after that. But I was never like, oh, no, watch out for the – it's not how I felt. Mm-hmm. Telling you this year with this team, man, that this is another aspect of last night that gets uncovered.
I want to close one thing off before you continue. Mm-hmm. That was the game of the year last night.
Oh,
that beat the belt. Just the two defensive, but there was a defensive play at the goal line, and not the fictitious Super Bowl goal line, the actual goal line.
Yeah,
there was a stop there that like the game looked like it was over, and then there was another one. It wasn't a goal line stop, but it was a. You've got options here, and they stopped them on four. They stopped them on what was it? Fourth and two,
fourth and one.
It was a fourth and one,
yeah.
And stopped them. It was a long one, but stopped them. To me, like, hey, it's cool when you go up in the Green Bay, Dallas. Even that wasn't even up. That was just Buffalo going, yeah, we don't really want to lose this game, and reeling off the points they did in terms of an Ali Frazier heavyweight fight. Yeah, that's got my here. Write it down. It's got the belt.
Jesse, does it have your belt too? As game of the year?
I think I'd still put Bills, Ravens, just given it was two of the best quarterbacks in the league, and mm-hmm. they got history there. But I mean, it's up there.
Okay.
Very All least, right. it's number two right now. Right. This Niners team. One of the reasons why I feel the way I feel about them is. And they showed last night, and this team is well coached at the highest level, and they're tough. This is a tough, tough group. It's a young group. When you talk about Alfred Collins, when you talk about Mykel Williams, when you talk about Upton Stout, Siegel, it's a young group. There's some young boys out there. But, man, they're not afraid of the moment. They are tough. I know Stafford had a really good game, put up some numbers, put up good numbers. But I think that 49ers secondary played their asses off last mm-hmm. night. At the very least, competed their asses off last night. And I think I tweeted it out earlier. I think by the time you get to the end of the season, you're going to be looking at a top three secondary in the league. Mm-hmm. They are that good. Lenore, Jesse, I heard you on the Insiders talking about it with Puka. Puka, what do you have, 10 catches, 80 yards?
Yeah, 10 catches, 80 yards on that touchdown.
Don't nobody do that to Puka right now. Mm-hmm. And he was starting to catch the ball, whatever. They moved Lenore over to him and shut him out in the second half. Lenore started on Devontae.
They what did Devontae the ball. Do?
Yeah, they do nothing.
Yeah, they moved the ball all over the place. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the first
half,
one catch for, I think, 11 yards. Then they switched him over to Puka in the second half and turned his
way. He had a lot of targets that didn't go his way. Devontae, talking about Devontae.
Mm-hmm. So I.
And it looked like Stafford, it felt like Stafford kept trying to find somebody. Yeah. He eventually found Devontae in the second half, but you go look at, the 49, Kendrick Bourne had 100, he had a career night with Mac Jones last night, 100. Something, 40-something, 30-something. Mm. The no receiver on the Rams had 100 yards. Mm. It was 80, 70, 75, like 60. He was trying to find something because the 49ers kept adjusting.
Right. Yeah, I think this defense is going to get better as the season goes along. The young boys on the defensive end, they are going to get better and better. And I think that secondary, it's difficult to say because, like I said, all the numbers that Stafford put up. But I thought that secondary played a hell of a game. When you talk about Renardo Green, Upton Stout, and Deaminor Lenore, I think that is going to be one of the top units in the game by the end of the season. And I say all that to say, I would feel good going up against anybody right now. Anybody with that group.
Well, I'm going to trust you in that regard because I'm with you in that regard, but I'm going to trust you in that regard because you said before the season, and I didn't understand why you felt this way, and I remember it. You said this defense could win you football games, and I didn't understand with such a young group why you would feel that way. At least this year. But when you look at having point differentials of 4-5-1, the -5 to Jacksonville, and 3 last night, your defense has absolutely won you football games in the first 5 weeks of the season. Last night being, to this point, the defining moment for that defense. As bad as it was in the fourth quarter, and it was bad, because it felt like the Rams, Matt Stafford, had no issue moving the ball up and down the field. Even in that moment in overtime, the at-will passage you were just talking about, felt bad. But when push came to shove, you've got them on the one-yard line. You get that critical stop. You know, if nothing else, you stop them from winning the game in that moment. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to overtime. And you have that moment where they stop them on 4th-and-1. Yeah. their defense has won them football games this year, and that's pretty incredible given the fact they've started to retool that defense with a bunch of guys from the draft this past year.
You're spot on with everything you're saying, and I watched that game last night, and I thought about the rest of this season, and I had a thought. John Lynch, make sure you pull up the Odyssey app, pull us up on YouTube, listen up, because
tease it.
I was trying to, but it would not get off 111. Like it would not. It just wouldn't. I said
Jesse's living in his longer. Head where it's like there's 90 seconds left, jackass. Like, what do you want us to do now?
We're in the gray area. This is called stalling for time now.
So Kenny's building it out by talking slow and leaving long pauses. Hey, I like that. Pauses can be a co-host. There's nothing wrong with that.
Get to 112, please.
All right.
I'm going to tell you what that is, though, when we go
Kenny
back.
Pays off his dramatic tease. Plus, we'll shift our attention at some point. I don't know when, but at some point, to Kings basketball. We got some more 5-on-5 today. We got some video from James Hamm. We'll bring that to you. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's D-Lo and KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to have to get to Kings basketball here pretty soon. Devin Carter hitting game winners in 5-on-5.
What?
We got our draft pick, baby. Devin Carter, let's go.
Sorry, Keon, you're not going to be able to play.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry, man. No, actually, guys, I think we need to bench DeMar DeRozan.
Right.
And allow that was sarcasm, kids. Real quick, head over to BakerFamilyWines.com. Join Dusty's Clubhouse. That's essentially Dusty's Wine Club. You want to be a part of Dusty's Wine Club because it's a blast. Also, as part of the clubhouse, you'll get newsletters about when Dusty will be at Baker Family Wines in West Sacramento. Talk to anyone who was out there last Sunday. Dusty is the most approachable person you will ever meet. Yeah. And watching grown men who love Dusty Baker having the opportunity to just go up, sit with him, talk with him, have a glass of wine with him. He was happy to sign hats and jerseys and bottles and all of that different stuff. You can find out when Dusty's there, not just through us, but through that newsletter over at BakerFamilyWines.com. Try that rosé we've been raving about all week, the 755 Cab, in honor of Hank Aaron. Just some tremendous things happening with Baker Family Wines. Look for that baseball stitch on the wine bottle at the Nugget in Roseville, Granite Bay, Elk Grove. You could check select Raley's in Bel Air when you're out doing your grocery shopping this week. Head over to the wine section. Look for that stitch on the baseball. Look for that baseball stitch on the bottle of wine, and you'll see Baker Family Wines right there. Grab you a couple of bottles and bring them home for the weekend.
Yes, indeed, man, because it's going to be a great weekend this weekend. Get you some Baker Family Wines.
See, and that's the good thing about your 49ers winning on Thursday, man. You could sip some wine, sip some rosé, sip a cab, a pinot, whatever your vibe is, and just enjoy football on Sunday. But you have a task, and again, we're gonna get to the Kings here in just a heartbeat. As practice is wrapping up, I think we'll hear from Doug Christie soon. Devin Carter, the hero, hitting game winners in practice. We'll talk about that, or we'll look at that as James posted the video. But you have a proposition,
just
for John Lynch?
You know, maybe not, because I think John Lynch is on. I think we're on the same page. That's my guy, John Lynch.
Oh, of course. I mean, obviously, you guys consult with each other. No one understands when you do that, specifically the radio audience who just hears silence.
That's what we do.
Also,
that's
for you prize pick players or gamblers, Lamar Jackson is out this weekend.
Ah.
So it was very obviously trending towards that, but it has been made official by the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson is out.
No max discount there this week.
Nah, not this time.
Go get reinforcements at some point, John.
Where?
On the D line.
Mm.
Go get you one. Because I know a lot of people talk about the pressure and all this other stuff from the O line the last 2 weeks. And I get that. I understand that. I think they're battling. They're trying to get after the quarterback. Number one, they're trying to get after the quarterback. So there's that. Number two, I think people are game planning for their pressure a little bit as well. Number three, Matthew Stafford he's just seen everything. Like, he knows how to play quarterback a lot of the times without being pressured. You know what I mean? Like, I remember in the third quarter, Silas started to change up his game plan and was bringing blitzes. And I was like, hey, stop bringing the blitz, because you're bringing the same blitz. He sees it at the line. He knows who's coming. He knows where he's going to go. Like, if you're not going to switch up how you do it, like, you got to change this up, because this ain't working.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to get pressure on a guy like Matthew Stafford. So I don't want to use that as a litmus test as to, see, that's why you gotta go get somebody. But just in general, because I think you have a potentially special defense, go get somebody. Go get somebody, John. I don't know if I know Hendrickson is one they talk about, or Cam Jordan, or who's the other dude they talk about? Thibodeau in New York, whatever. Go get somebody to help these guys out, because I think they've got it with the young guys that you got, specialized in stopping that run, and they've got that figured out. Go help Bryce Huff out and go get somebody on the other side to go rush that quarterback, since you don't have Nick. You do that. Might be talking about something.
Do you feel like they need it? Need it?
I don't think they need it.
But we're talking about
win. I think they're going to make the. If you didn't change the roster at all, they're going to make the playoffs. They can win in any scenario with what they have.
You're looking for a over the top.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Go do that, and now we're cooking. One other thing real quick before we get to the Kings. I thought Mac Jones on Sunday, excuse me. I thought Brock Purdy on Sunday against the Jags, I thought he played a pretty good game. I thought he made a couple of bad decisions, turned the ball over, had some misfortune on one of the interceptions. But he was pressured a lot, and I thought he played better than people give him credit for. You lost the game. You turned the ball over personally 3 times. So that's not good. Like, you can't have that. But we're going crazy, and rightfully so, over Mac Jones in the game that he had today.
Mm-hmm.
I just watch this type of stuff in football, because people forget about stuff or dismiss stuff or just don't recognize, right? Like I said, I thought Brock played a good game. He had 2 passes that didn't go his way.
Mm-hmm.
Mac Jones, I thought he played really well last night. No interceptions, 2 touchdowns. Do you remember that pass that Mac made on a 3rd down late in the game over the middle that was so bad it wasn't intercepted because 2 people thought they could pick it up?
Yeah, that was tough.
And just think, like, if the middle linebacker, I think it was, if he doesn't get in the way of the ball, that's an easy pick.
Yep.
And we're having a different
He story. Was trying to make a difficult play on the ball when the person behind him would have just caught it.
It's right there.
He was a defender in that play. He was a defender against his own teammate.
And it's just if that would have been an interception, I don't think Mac played any worse of a game. You know what I mean? That's kind of my point. Like, sure. He played a hell of a game yesterday.
Yeah.
But we judge it. It goes a little bit to what you're talking about, the results of the game. Did they win or lose? Was the ball picked off or not?
Well, it goes back to what you said yesterday. It has to be clean. Mm-hmm. Yes, and you kept saying perfect. It was like, it's not going to be perfect. Yesterday's game was not perfect, but it was clean.
Mm-hmm.
And clean. That pass is a big reason it wound up being clean.
Yeah. So I remember when that happened, and I thought about that. And it goes back to, I thought Brock played. He played cool. Like, people were like, after the Jags, he was a disaster. He shouldn't have been out there. I thought Brock played. He played all right. He made a few bad decisions.
Yeah. And not all of them were intercepted. Some of them were just passes he was trying to force into tight windows. And then, yeah, he had it. I mean, and he didn't get a lot of help. Like, I think it was 5 drops in that one. He had, you know, Christian McCaffrey had a couple pop flies that hit him in the hands. Mm-hmm.
He had 6 or 7 drops, actually.
Did he really? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's just when we judge the quarterback position, I think sometimes we lose context and we don't think about everything. And
I don't know why 6 or 7 sound like so much more than 5, but for some reason it does. 5 is a lot. 5 drop passes in a single game is a lot. Yeah. To think it might have been 7 is...
And
Jesus.
Here's the other thing about it. Like I said, I thought the Niners didn't take care of the football against the Jags, but the defense played well or whatever. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, thank you. It was Jesus Christ.
6-7.
Thank you. Like the whole chatty house.
Now we're those kids in and out.
We really are. Just I hate life so much.
But
I hate when I'm not in on a joke because I just don't get it. I don't understand.
I say it though, but I don't understand it. The Niners in that game against the Jags, I thought they beat themselves. No disrespect to the Jags and what they did on the defensive end, but you talk about those 6 or 7 drops.
Yeah.
And the interception that was called back, that was a game changer. And I thought there was a block in the back on the punt return for a touchdown. I thought the Niners, you combine that with their own turnovers, I thought the Niners beat themselves in that one. The Rams dropped some passes last night too.
Mm-hmm.
That the Niners had nothing to do with. Like, I'm keeping it a stack. Like, there were no Niners around. Just like I talked about in that Cardinals game. There were no Niners around, and they just dropped them.
Yeah.
Those things happen, and they happen on both sides. So when I say, hey, the Niners beat themselves or they could have won that game against the Jags, and that's not being disrespectful to the Jags, they had things that they didn't take care of. The Rams could be saying the same things today. Mm-hmm. If we take care of our business.
Oh, and I'm sure they are.
We turned the ball over twice.
Yeah.
Turned the ball over at the goal line. You know, if it wasn't for that, we would have won. Those things happen from time to time, and sometimes – those are X factors as to why you won or lost. It's not an excuse. It's just we didn't play a clean game. Yesterday, the Niners played a clean game, and the Rams didn't.
Just had an interesting thought, thinking back to obviously yesterday's game and the week before, the 27-20 win over Indianapolis, where my first thought was, as that game was going, the direction I thought it was tomorrow's show was going to suck. Kenny's going to be in such a bad mood. It's going to be Friday. We're just going to want to go home. It's going to be terrible. And this game is going exactly like that Colts game went last week.
Mm.
But thinking that made me pull up because we did these numbers a second ago with the San Francisco 49ers when we were talking about their defense point differentials. 4-5-1, the -5 loss to Jacksonville, and 3. For Los Angeles, it's 5. They have a 33-19 win against Tennessee, arguably the worst team, certainly one of the worst teams in the league. Mm-hmm. 33-26 loss to Philadelphia. 27-20 Indy. And then the 26-23 loss to San Francisco. They got Baltimore coming up next. That'll be really interesting. It's at Baltimore. Then they're at Jacksonville. I'm assuming that's a situation where they're just going to stay out east. Oh, I'm seeing a 9:30 start. That game might be in a different country.
Yeah.
That game's in a different country.
They're going to be out there in England. Sure.
So they're definitely not coming back to Los Angeles. And then they got their bye week, so perfect time for that. But a couple of tough games, depending on the status of Lamar Jackson, ahead for the Rams before they head into the bye week. I thought prior to yesterday, and I'm not going to change it. It's the Eagles. Now I'll amend it. The Eagles stand alone right now for me in the NFC. Mm-hmm. I booted Green Bay because of that embarrassing performance against Dallas. Tire not. That was embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And I had Los Angeles in here. I think the Rams are really good, and I'm going to keep them like up in this conversation. I think the 49ers are I don't know what's preventing me from throwing the 49ers in there. Maybe me. It's probably could very well be that. Could very well be that. Like I think higher of the 49ers than I do the Bucks. Like, and I love the Bucks, but I don't like I'm rooting for the Bucks to do well. I like Baker Mayfield and all that. I like their coaching staff, but we said this, you know, after the Eagles game, even though they made that game interesting, I do think there's levels to this. That's a really good football team. Jesse said, hey, they beat the Eagles. I think they're contenders. I don't. I don't think the Tampa Bay Bucks are contenders to win the Super Bowl. I do think they're a good football team. I think the San Francisco 49ers are contenders to win Super Bowl. The Super Bowl. And so it's, you know, we're starting. We're not there yet. We're 5 weeks in, but we are getting close. You start to get into week 6 and 7 of a 17-game, 18-week season. We're going to start to know who some of these teams are. Now, there might be one, maybe two team that makes a late season run, or, you know, 49ers haven't lost since Halloween. You know, you might have something like that. But you're going to start to get a good idea of what these teams are. Baltimore, you know, we might not talk more about this. But Baltimore and Houston are approaching loser leaves town match this weekend. And Lamar's out. And so it's like if you're Baltimore, you're trying to manage this like, all right, we have no room for air. Lamar can't play this weekend. We've got Los Angeles coming here next week. Like, what do we do? Like, how close is he? And it's a hamstring. And, you know, our thing is always, he ain't going to be ready next week. That doesn't mean he's not going to play. It means he's not going to be ready. And so there's a lot of teams now who are facing these types of situations where it's like, yeah, you kind of are what you are. Jacksonville beats Kansas City on Monday. Yeah, there's something to be said for Jacksonville. There might be something to be said for Jacksonville right now. I'm waiting a little bit longer. They get this win against Kansas City, which I think is in Jacksonville. Man, good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, all right, I got you. I'm taking you seriously. Same with Indianapolis. Like, Indianapolis needs to beat the Raiders. Simple as that. And take you seriously, you have to beat the Raiders.
Right.
So we're going to start to get an idea. We can start to dead the, well, it's early. That stuff is going to start to die in the next week or two.
Agreed.
And we're going to know who these teams are.
Absolutely.
Or at least have an idea.
And then that's, you know, one of the things that, talking about the Niners, I feel like I learned yesterday. I thought, but I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. But their level of toughness, the coaching, the combination of the coaching between, just look at this.
This is incredible. They just had the play where Brock stayed down that I just don't know how this is not a roughing the passer call. If he keeps his arms around his waist and lands on him, it's not, because he's not taking extra steps. He's not doing anything that's illegal until he puts his hands up like this.
Right.
And again, maybe I just don't understand, and there's just Brock sprinting off like Usain Bolt, like Mac, nothing's wrong. Mac, I've done that like 10 times, sorry.
They had a handful of times when I thought they kind of did.
That brother thought he was about to have his moment. He thought he was about to have, God damn it. Unloose. He was like, no, I'm so happy you're okay. I definitely didn't want to play on Thursday night football in front of my family and friends.
I thought about a handful of times they did a little extra with Mac yesterday. Late hits.
I thought the officials had a rough day yesterday.
Mm. Mm.
Rough.
Yeah, they were on a short week too.
Well,
they weren't good. But I think this 49ers team is proving with the coaching duo of Kyle Shanahan and Bob Saleh that they are – at the very least, they're going to be a tough out. Mm-hmm. Tough out if they can get to the playoffs. They could be, by the time they get everybody back and start getting everybody in the groove offensively, they could be the best team in football, mm-hmm. or at least in the NFC. Mm-hmm. But worst case scenario, it's like, all right, it doesn't matter who's out there. Doesn't matter what went on the week before or whatever. This is going to be a tough team to play. And that defense travels, their toughness travels. They can't even run the ball yet. If they ever figure that out, that could be a game changer as well.
They sure can. Chris Peterman of the Sacramento Bee and, of course, of Candlestick Chronicles, he's going to join us coming up at 3:30, final hour of the show. We'll wrap this show up talking about the San Francisco 49ers. Let's head over to King's practice.
Let's go. Our man James Ham. Let's go.
I'm going to hit the mute button on here. That's DeMontis Sabonis. Maxime Raynaud doing a jump ball right here. This is my first time seeing this. Apparently, this is for game. You got Devin Carter with the ball in his hands. It looks like the starters are out there.
Jesus.
Open three, bucket, and the white team wins.
That was an illegal screen.
Well, not at practice. Not at practice.
Nice shot, Devin.
Hey, Devin's hair is getting worse.
Man. It is. I saw. Oh, come on, man. Look at it right now.
Devin's hair is getting way worse.
Oh, this is Maxime Raynaud after the tip. Like, just, he's not set at all. Devin doesn't wait for him. Just smacks LaVine up. Look at him. That's not legal.
That is an extremely illegal screen. Yeah. Zach looking around like, for real? All right.
Dennis with the beanie on his head again.
But the story is Devin hits the three for the win.
Shout out Devin
Carter. Look, Bobby's mad. Like, yeah, that's what we doing? That's what we doing? All right.
Shout out Devin Carter, man. Isaiah Stevens out there as well.
And let's look. There's Dennis with his beanie. He's very easy to find. Domas, that's DeMar, that's Zach, and Keegan's over here.
You know what it kind of looked like?
What?
Kind of look like the third team going up against.
I was
gonna
say.
Kind of look like the third team going against the starters.
It's blacks versus whites in a lot of different in a lot of different ways here, because you got my brother Devin, and Terrence. Who was that?
That's Isaiah Stevens.
That's Isaiah Stevens, who just passed him the ball. Mm-hmm. Then you got Max out there. Doug McDermott.
Okay.
All right, man. Is on the floor. And then you got Max's.
Jesus.
You got Max's very illegal screen.
You can't do that.
Max's incredibly illegal screen gets Devin open. Domas closes out. The shot goes.
Nice
out.
Shot, too, by Devin. Nice. Very form. Good. Nice.
Yeah.
A quick release.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Just kind of looking around. I guess we're inspecting.
There's Drew Eubanks in the back.
There's Drew. I'm on
There's
the wrong
Keon
screen.
Over there.
Is Drew Eubanks over here? Right.
He's just throwing his towel to Keon's next to him. I don't know who that is over there. Oh, that's probably
Keon's
Neek.
Next to who?
He's walking like on the sideline.
Oh, that's over Keon. Here. Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
Neek Clifford, I think, closest
yeah.
to.
Yep. Yeah. Doug. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, third team got to win today.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's all good.
Devin Carter.
All good. Shout out.
How do you feel? So, again, Jersey watch. I don't know. I don't know that I love Max being in that group.
I don't either. But some people directly or indirectly have maybe sold me on the idea of Eubanks starting in that role. And just talking about, like, this is a vet.
As a backup.
Starting
in that role as a backup. Yep.
As a backup. This is a vet. Who is physical. He kind of knows what to do. It's not going to be a lot of time that he's going to be out there. Yeah, I'm ready and was ready and have been ready to put Max out there, man. To start the season, just the backup position. It's not like you're asking him to start, but I'm starting to change my tune on that just because I see Eubanks is probably going to be there. But mm-hmm. I also understand the rationale. I get it.
It also looks like Saric is playing.
Mm.
Maybe Max just needs some. He's a second round pick. Mm-hmm. I just am intrigued by it. It's right now. Of course, I'm not at practice, right? I'm not next to Doug and Bobby and those guys. Right now, I'm intrigued by the idea of Maxime Raynaud.
Yes.
Because I mean, Summer League obviously played a major factor in that. But when you hear about the things that he does well, it's like, oh, he could shoot. And we saw that. Like, we saw him score. I think it was the first game he played. It might have been the second.
Yeah, he was cooking. Yeah, the first game.
But he was scoring. And, like, every time we looked, every time we looked up, because the game was happening while the show was going on, one of our shows, he was scoring in, oh, he shot a three. Mm-hmm. Oh, he scored at the basket. Oh, he just shot from the free throw line. He scored, you know, on every different level. And it was like, huh, okay. And then he continues that, and then it becomes this idea of Maxime Reno. Back up to DeMontis Sabonis. The idea of Maxime Reno potentially playing minutes with DeMontis Sabonis, stretching that floor out a little bit for Domas and potentially DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and those guys there. Okay, I get it. I see it. Maybe that's just our imagination, and he's not quite ready for that role yet.
Right. It felt like the things that he is able to do on the offensive end is immediately transferable to the NBA game. Pick and pop, you know, catching the dunker spot, being able to finish around the basket with either hand. To me, it seems easily transferable. But the things that, like, I'm not crazy about is rebounding, maybe his lack of physicality. Maybe that's something that, especially with the way Doug wants to play. Yeah, we can't have that right now. You've got to be a little bit more physical. And that may happen after a training camp. That may happen a month or two into the season.
Well, he was physical on that screen with Zach LaVine. It's
very physical and illegal. But, you know, maybe they're taking their time with getting him up to speed with that level of play.
We can run what essentially will just be B-roll for the streaming audience, as we have some more we have some other videos from practice today with James Hand. Well, yeah, you're doing some play-by-play, right? So you got to work on it.
Sabonis with a backdoor pass to, I don't know who that is. Oh, it's Keegan, and it goes out of bounds.
Hey, coach, you want to get out of the way here? We're trying to do a radio show.
Keegan should have had that one. Now, Devin, running the point, pulls up on Domas again. Bang!
Well, you got to translate for the radio audience. You're doing it. You are no G-man, sir.
You got a three-pointer for Devin Carter.
Oh, Zach LaVine. Oh my gosh.
And what do they call here? What's the ref call?
I don't know. Zach dropped his shoulder, took Devin out.
And Devin's
is
taken
Zach
out.
Is Zach going to the line?
Devin's taken out. Is he?
No, this is it just looped. It's over.
Well, I was going to go. I don't know. Is Devin diving for the ball on
Kenny,
the ground?
Kenny Michaels. Kenny, I'm dying to know what happened here. Did Zach go to the foul line on this play or not? Watch Zach dip his shoulder for the radio audience. Right, he just just drilled Devin
That's
Carter.
That's an offensive foul.
I'm telling you, by the time. So there was a fight at practice this Sunday. These guys are going to fight.
They're just tired of playing against each other.
And that's the line you're going to get. All. They're tired of seeing each other. Yeah. Really? Been around each other for a week. Really? We got to sit across from each other for 5 hours, and these guys are tired from each other for a week. We can run one more video here.
Oh, good. More play-by-play.
Pal, you're terrible.
Here we are at the at Chicago Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
The Kings, Maxime Reynaud, shooting a three.
So I wonder.
And back rim, Dennis Schroeder gets the ball, long rebound, brings it up to court in transition, kicks it off to Domas. Domas hands it back off to Dennis. Dennis, a little up and under, doesn't go, but it looks like there might have been a foul call, and there was.
Now
a foul
you definitely
call.
Sound. It looks like something might have happened. I'm not really sure what. Do you think if we're speculating on this correctly, we see some guys over in blue jerseys on the other side of the floor. One beat two. Now one is playing three.
Could be, yeah. Could be the case.
Because this is the end of practice, right? So you've got the blue team over on the other side of the basket, on the other court, at the Golden 1 Center.
Yeah. For sure. Good. Nice little two-man game there with Schroeder and Sabonis. Symmetry.
And Dennis in his beanie.
Dennis in that beanie, man. I don't know how he does it.
My man cutting weight. cutting weight. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. As a matter of fact, we'll talk specifically about Dennis Schroeder. Mm. Jesse asked a good question about what Dennis could have meant to this team last year and what he could mean this year. That's ahead. Eddie Gonzalez coming up in about 30 minutes. Chris Biederman, final hour of the show. Stilo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eddie Gonzalez coming up in about 30 minutes. We were just looking at some clips from the latest 5-on-5 at King's practice when we have anything from Coach Doug Christie or anyone else who was available. Of course, we'll bring that to you as we always try to do. Basketballs and shoes squeaking in the background like no other. We'll also get back to that epic Thursday night football game last night that sent the 49ers to a 4-1 record, a 4-1 NFC West leading record with the Seahawks playing the Bucks coming up this weekend in a battle of 3-1 teams. I'm locked in on that one. We'll talk more about that as we roll along. But back to the Kings in practice. We were talking, you know, having some fun with this a 5-on-5 video. Excuse me, that James Hamm put out, and you know, I think you noted a you know a Dennis Schroeder pass or something. He set somebody up, and Jesse asked an interesting question, and it's obviously irrelevant now because you know there's a part two to this question that's the one that's important. Mm-hmm. But given what DeMar said earlier this week, given my assumption that maybe things were actually way worse than we've been. Things were bad. Every Kings fan knew that they were bad. I got the impression from DeMar that it was actually even worse than we thought. And Jesse asked, like, yo, what do you think Dennis could have meant to the team last year post De'Aaron? Like if there had been a trade for Zach LaVine and Dennis Schroeder last year. I don't know how that works. Just use your imagination. What would that have meant? Because the season ends, and we need a point guard. We need a point guard. We need a point guard. We talked earlier this week about the difference in offensive fluidity between pre-February and post-February. Offense still being good, being a lot more clunky, not as efficient, not as high scoring, but overall a decent offensive season from the team. Could Dennis have made a difference? And my first thought was, no, he couldn't have. Because of everything else that was happening.
That's my first thought as well.
I don't think would it plus two wins? Sure. Like, would it have mattered in the long run to where people would have felt good about this season? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I think last season was so bad on so many different levels. Position inequities, imbalance in roster, none of it would have mattered. Mm-hmm. Absolutely none of it. And that was what we were left with last season. And I think a lot of people have started this season, a lot of fans, I should say, and media members have started this season with the feeling that, well, no, it's bad. It's still bad. Like, it ended bad. It still feels bad. Like, why wouldn't it? You added Dennis Schroeder, who he's a journeyman. He's this. Like, all right, like, cool. Like, he's a good ball player, but you don't think he's good enough. All right, fair enough. All of that turmoil is gone. all of that. And to me, that's the biggest impact that this team is going to feel game one, is all of that stuff is gone. Because it's clear the Mike stuff not only lingered through the summer into training camp, that's a year-long thing.
Yeah.
The De'Aaron stuff, we didn't know it then, started when the Mike Brown stuff started that offseason, mm-hmm. and the lack of a contract extension. And then the just ultimate like implosion of all of those different things, or all of those things kind of combusting and causing an implosion, is one of the big reasons that I think last season went the way that it did. So I don't think Dennis would have mattered last year. I think Dennis matters a lot this year.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Last year, even if you have Dennis, yeah, it'll help out a little bit with leadership, with the point guard position and balancing things out a little bit. But you still had coaches that left. You still had coaches that got hurt. You still have coaches that you don't know have your back who are still there. You still got a general manager that is a dead man walking and doesn't know what he's doing. You got general manager.
Said his goodbyes before the playing right. game.
You got a general manager that left in the middle of the season. So, or assistant general manager. So, yeah, I don't, in that situation, outside of Giannis, I don't know who helps. I don't know who helps to the point where it would completely change your fortunes. With what was going on with this franchise.
Even think Giannis would have helped last year. Yeah. Like, think of the way last year started for the Bucks. They were like 2-10 or something, mm-hmm. 2-11. Like, teams face turmoil. Like, that's like what the Kings went through last year. That's not unique to them. There's nothing new in the history of the league to what the Sacramento Kings went through.
Mm-hmm.
Talent can pull you out of that. Time can pull you out of that. Like the Bucks started, you know, 2-10 or whatever their record ultimately was at the beginning of the season. And they had essentially an entire season to turn it around and were able to a certain degree, or not to a certain degree. They were able to, they wound up getting to the playoffs. They just weren't good enough to compete. That's where the Giannis's come into play. You had LeBron James. Was it his first year with the Lakers, the Luke Walton year, where he gets hurt on Christmas?
Yep.
And, you know, they're 4 seed, 5th seed, like whatever they are, and everything goes to hell for them. And you can't come back and save it. You can't come back and fix it. Like, right. it's just what has happened has happened. It's a wrap. That's what I feel like was the Kings last year.
I agree.
It's a wrap.
I agree.
Didn't feel that way at first when Doug took over.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't feel that way at first, but by the time De'Aaron left, it was like, all right.
That was the one that they couldn't recover from, because it was so many, such a ripple effect with De'Aaron wanting to be gone. What that meant for what ownership might want, what that might look like for what the general manager was able to get out of a deal like that. And it was just, that was the straw that broke the camel's back right mm-hmm. there. I think if De'Aaron Fox was around for that entire season, it would have been different. It would have been a little bit more like that first 10, 11 games. But he wasn't. And Once that toothpaste was out of the tube that he wanted out, or he was like, well, just trade me then or whatever,
mm-hmm.
there was no recovery. I disagree with James Hamm and others who say, like, you should have just held on to him. You might have made the playoffs anyway. I don't think so. I thought, maybe I'm being reactionary, but that week when it got out that he wanted to leave was a disaster. It was a disaster. That was the Brooklyn game that looked funny, and they ended up winning. I think they lost to Philadelphia, San Francisco 49ers-like Philadelphia team in Philadelphia, and with that injuries left and right. Nobody was playing. And then they went to Oklahoma City and just got destroyed. And before that week, I was on the same page, just wait it out. You don't have to trade him now. After Oklahoma City, I said, this. You can't do this for another 2.5 months. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not the answer. So, yeah, if that wouldn't have happened and he would have just kind of just played along throughout the rest of the year, I thought they would have been fine. But once that came out and they had to make that deal, that's what changed everything. And I don't know if there was any saving it at that point. Our guy, Stephen Brown, in the chat, says Dennis is very important to this team, and that's why they're going to be trash. I don't think when we talk about Dennis Schroeder, Dennis alone is the reason why, like, we think differently about this team. Dennis is a part of it. Like, if you brought Dennis Schroeder in here and Doug Christie still had to deal with being the only coach on the bench, and Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox still had their dynamic and they were still around, I don't think Schroeder would make – we just laid it out. I don't think it'd make that much of a difference. Mm-hmm. But you combine Dennis Schroeder with Scott Perry and Doug Christie kind of being on the same page, Doug having a full coaching staff of guys that he trusts and can implement his style of play. You combine Schroeder with that, yeah, I think he matters. And his impact can be felt a lot more than if it was just how it was last year.
Stephen Brown in Sacktown Tony brought up a great question. Why are we addressing robots in the chat? But it's okay. Like AI has a place in our world, and Stephen Brown is AI.
That's funny.
With generic black man stock image as his
GBSIOM.
He says, I'm waiting for somebody in Sacramento sports media to tell it like it is. This roster is garbage. Laughing emoji. If your basketball acumen leads you to believe that the Sacramento Kings roster is garbage, that's perfectly fine. I mean, I'm sure you could find someone to tell you that, Stephen. Neither one of us, I certainly don't. I don't. Kenny doesn't. I don't think Jesse does. Thinks this roster is garbage. You can not like the way that it's built. You can think there is depth issues at certain positions. But I don't, like, I'm terribly sorry to, like, I can't buy into that. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't. If you don't think that this is a 44, 45 win team, you think they're maybe closer to 39, 40, perfectly fine. Like, I'll listen to that conversation all day. But to pretend like this, but I can't pretend like this roster is garbage to appease Kings fans who are frustrated.
Right.
I can't. If you need someone to trash this team, I'm sure you do not have to look very hard. Mm-hmm. I just can't offer that for you. We can't offer that for you. And I promise you, if we thought it was trash, we would tell you.
Simple as that.
We've never not told you how we felt about this team. It's what pisses them off the most about us. But this team isn't trash. And I think Dennis is good. So you can call me a shill. You can say whatever you want to. I think Dennis Schroeder is a hell of a basketball player. I do think he's important for this basketball team. I think he's important for Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan. And I think, to your point, it's not the most important thing. Mm-hmm. The most important thing for me is there's no Mike Brown situation developing. There's no De'Aaron Fox situation developing. As long as this team stays clear from those, okay.
Yeah.
I think they'll be fine. Yeah. To the tune of 44, 45 wins. That's where I think this basketball team will be. Yeah. And I might have to reassess that. You might have to clip this and make fun of it and do all of that. That's perfectly fine. That's what I think this basketball team is.
I agree. I feel the same way about this team, and anybody's entitled to feel however they feel about this team. I just, you know, when AI like Stephen Brown and mm-hmm. and other humans mm-hmm.
Well, regular humans.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, regular. Yeah. I was saying when AI and humans talk about.
Got you. Yeah. Yeah. He should change. Steven should change his YouTube handle to iSteven. Like iRobot, it should just be iSteven.
They called him ChatGP Steven.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But when AI in others and in humans feel that way, you're fine. You're entitled to that. That's perfectly fine. I just don't know. It's like I always say, I don't know why we have to be so extreme with how we talk about sports. So Karen Bagley has a sensible outlook on it. The roster isn't trash, but it's not good enough to be top eight. That's fine too, if you feel that way. But for things either just got to be great or trash. Like that's not the world. That's
well, it's funny work. If you've ever like tried to research something and you've looked at the reviews for a restaurant or a product on Amazon or something like that, it's one of two things: 5 stars or 1 star. There's never an in between. It's great. It's the greatest thing, and it's compelled me to write this review. It's trash, and it's compelled me to write this review. There's never a 3.5 stars. Oh, it's okay. It's not exactly what I hoped, but it actually gets the job done. It's fine. I might look for better later, but it works. Oh, the food was okay. Like, the service wasn't the best. It was a little loud in there, but I'll probably try it again. Never. Greatest thing ever. Worst thing ever. No in between.
Or look, is not even... Now, this was a good restaurant.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, not even positive reinforcement. Not... Mm-mm. No, this was the best. Number one, hands down. No, it was just good. I ain't good. It was
the other thing.
It was good. It's fine.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.